bring you now The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth. Here's the minister, Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr.
We take it for granted that it is a good thing for people to give. Christians believe that Jesus was the supreme giver, and that our most important task is to share in his giving. But let me throw another idea at you. Jesus was the supreme receiver, and it is important for Christians to share in his receiving. After we hear from our choir, I'll try to explain what I mean by blessed receiving.
No thank we all, no thank we all, our God, no thank we all, our God.
We welcome you to The Living of These Days, the weekly broadcast of Pilgrim Congregational Church. I'm Royal Shepherd, and the scripture lesson I've chosen to read today is found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verses 32 through 35. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by so toiling, one must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The ecumenical spirit is not something you would expect to find in Archie Bunker. Though he never goes to church, he has no use for anybody else's church. One day, however, he did agree that Protestants and Catholics have something in common. They both take up collections. Well, Archie Bunker may be wrong about a lot of things, but he's right about that. They do take up collections. Christians have been doing that ever since the Apostle Paul went among the churches in Macedonia and Asia Minor, asking for contributions to help the poverty-stricken congregation in Jerusalem. As he is about to sail from the port of Miletus, Paul gives a kind of farewell address to a delegation from the church in Ephesus. He concludes by saying, "In all things I have shown you that by so toiling one must help the weak." Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now far be it from me to contradict the Lord. Let it be granted that giving is the more blessed. To say, however, that giving is blessed does not imply that receiving is not blessed. If I say that I like apples better than oranges, it does not mean that I, or Apollo necessarily, that I don't like oranges. By the same token, Jesus' saying about giving and receiving does not deny in any way the value of receiving. But the connection between giving and receiving is much closer than that between apples and oranges. Giving and receiving depend on each other in a way that apples and oranges do not. If all the orange trees in the world suddenly died of a blight, there would still be just as many apple trees around. But if there were no giving in the world, there could be no receiving at all, and vice versa. Did you ever think of that? If there were no receiving, there could be no giving. The two depend on each other. So then, we would be making a very large mistake if we decided that giving was the only thing that mattered. We would be seriously in error if we thought that giving was always blessed, but that receiving was never blessed. Now, there are people who refuse rather sanctimoniously every gift that is offered them. They may do this believing that by declining to show the grace of receiving, they are somehow promoting the spirit of giving. But how could the spirit of giving flourish in a world if it was always met by the rebuff of those who refuse to receive? Now, as at all times, Christians celebrate what Paul called the inexpressible gift, the gift of God's gracious love in Jesus Christ. But what difference would such a gift make if no one chose to receive it? No fisherman receiving as he mended his nets. No tax collector receiving as he sat at his table. No housewife receiving as she carried her pitcher to the well. The truth is that without such people receiving, what God gave in Jesus would have made no difference to the world at all. Giving is the more blessed, but let's not discount the value of receiving. Jesus' own history shows us how blessed receiving can be. There was a freedom in Jesus that enabled him to receive freely from others. He was not a grasping, acquisitive person. On the other hand, he was not one of those persons whose pride always gets in the way of an act of kindness. Jesus took many things from others. He slept in other people's beds, ate at other people's tables. It seems that he was glad always to reach out for a helping hand or to accept an act of courtesy. There's no record that he ever got into a hassle over who was going to pay his luncheon bill. Jesus was free from those little obstacles that make it difficult for many people to receive from others. It is not surprising, then, that some of the most illuminating incidents in his story are incidents in which Jesus receives something from other people. For example, just when he seems to be gaining some support among respectable people, a woman with a very bad reputation starts washing his feet. Jesus could score a few points with the Pharisees by pushing the woman away. Instead, he tells them that the great love this woman is showing reveals how great is the forgiveness of God toward her. Jesus walks down the road into Jericho, and he sees a well-dressed little man watching from a tree. He can tell that the man would like a chance to talk with him. But the man is a tax collector, and Jesus has already aroused a good deal of opposition for consorting with people in that profession. He could ignore the little man in the tree. Instead, he invites himself to dinner at the tax collector's home. Jesus is the man who is free both to give and to receive. Through his blessed receiving, he helps others to give. And yet through his blessed giving, he helps others to receive. If Jesus could let other people wash his feet without embarrassment, so he could wash other people's feet without any loss of dignity. Remember how Jesus began to wash Peter's feet at the Last Supper? Peter objected indignantly. "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part in me." And then Peter, beginning to get the message, exclaimed, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So Peter learned about the blessedness of receiving. For giving and receiving go together, and the Lord Jesus was as much a master of the one as of the other. The lesson about blessed receiving is not an easy lesson to learn. There are all sorts of attitudes that stand in the way. Such an attitude is the tendency to take things for granted in life, the habit of feeling that whatever comes our way is our due. So long as we look at the world that way, we are unable to receive with much appreciation. Another attitude is that gets in the way is that of self-pity. Our attention is focused so hard on what we haven't got that we cannot enjoy the things that we have got. The people who go through life looking at the hole rather than at the donut have a hard time learning the grace of receiving. Still another obstacle may be found in insensitivity to the giver. We pay more attention to how useful we think the gift is than to the person who gives it. The spirit in which that gift is given is lost. Now, Jesus did not need a woman to come and pour a lot of costly oil over his head. But he appreciated the act as an act of devotion. And he told his disciples and the woman that this was a beautiful thing. A father may not need an orange necktie at the banker's convention, but because it comes from his 5-year-old son, he wears it proudly. Indeed, I have always felt that there is a certain honor at stake in receiving that binds us to the intention of the giver. That's not to say that we should always receive things that are wrong or in terribly bad taste. But I have never understood those people who go running off to the department store on the day after Christmas to exchange all their presents. That strikes me as a breach of trust. But the biggest obstacle to blessed receiving is pride. There is the pride that says, "I don't care to be beholden. I don't want charity." Within limits, such pride may have its value. It may be essential to self-respect, but often it is carried to the extreme. Another sort of pride seeks to give ourselves the whole credit for whatever comes our way. When that kind of pride takes over, what passes for thanksgiving is in reality self-congratulation. It was that kind of pride that Jesus attacked in his story about the Pharisee and the tax collector. The latter went into the temple to pray very much like little Jack Horner. Under the guise of a prayer of thanksgiving, he told God in effect, "What a good boy am I." Sometimes this kind of pride reveals itself in group terms. even in national terms. It is just 50 years ago that the late Reinhold Niebuhr published a diary describing his experiences as a young pastor in Detroit. Here is what he wrote about a Union Thanksgiving service that he attended. "The Union Thanksgiving service we attended this morning was full of the kind of self-righteous bunk which made it quite impossible for me to worship. The Lord we worshiped was not the Lord of hosts, but the spirit of Uncle Sam, given a cosmic eminence the dear old gentleman does not deserve. It is a bad thing when religion is used as a vehicle of pride. It would be better to strut unashamedly down the boardwalk of nations than to go through the business of bowing before God while we say, 'We thank thee, Lord, that we are not as other men.'" There are these obstacles, then, inside of us that get in the way of blessed receiving. For some of us, receiving may be even harder than giving. But if there are attitudes that stand in the way of blessed receiving, so there are also attitudes that help. And among those helping attitudes, none is more important than the spirit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving replaces the "I've got it coming" attitude with wonder. The thankful person knows what Gilbert Chesterton meant when he said that there is no way, that we can earn a star or deserve a sunset. Thanksgiving replaces self-pity with joy. Another thing Chesterton once observed was that all goods look better when they look like gifts. And that is very true, isn't it? The things we receive as gifts have a special brightness about them that makes them different from similar items that we may buy for ourselves. Now, said Chesterton, the saint is precisely the person who looks at everything that he has in life as a gift. He is the person who is continually aware of his dependence on God, and so he is unceasingly thankful. Thanksgiving replaces pride with humility. Whereas pride imprisons people within themselves, humility opens them to other people's love. You cannot be thankful without being humble. If your thanksgiving is only a cover for self-congratulation, you will go home from the temple bound to your own smugness like the Pharisee. But if you find the humility to be thankful, you will leave having established a new relationship with God. Here indeed, we come to the nub of the matter. Thanksgiving is an outward-looking attitude. It opens us up in appreciation of what that grand old prayer calls all the blessings of this life. But more than that, for the Christian, it opens up to what the same prayer calls thine inestimable love for the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Now, we may understand that line in differing ways, but what matters is the inestimable love, a love beyond measuring shared with us through Jesus Christ. We seek ourselves to be sharers in that love and of that love, but such sharing is possible only if we are also receivers. Thanksgiving is one attitude that makes such receiving possible. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I hope that we will remember that. But I hope as well that we shall not overlook the challenge of blessed receiving. Let us join in prayer. O God, from whom all blessings flow, teach us the art of sharing both ways. Let us be free both to give and to receive. Deliver us from those forms of selfishness and pride that are obstacles not only to giving, but to receiving. May we observe in Jesus one who received gladly both from God and from his neighbor, and who thus was empowered to give abundantly. These things we ask in his name. Amen.
For you shall go out. Go out with joy, for you shall go out. Go out with joy, for you shall go out. Go out with joy, for you shall go out. Go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. Shall break forth before you into singing.
Shall break forth before you into singing.
And the trees, all the trees, and the trees shall clap their hands. And the trees, all the trees, and the trees shall clap their hands. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing. And the trees, all the trees, and the trees shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn, a fir tree shall rise up. Instead of a thorn, a fir tree shall rise up. And myrtles shall rise up. And the Lord shall remain an everlasting sun that shall not be taken away.
A sun
that shall not be taken away.
We hope that you will join us again next week for the Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of Pilgrim Congregational Church. If you would like a copy of today's sermon, you may obtain one or more by writing to Pilgrim Church, 2310 East 4th Street, Duluth, Minnesota, 55812. One of the great turning points in human history occurred when a political refugee named Moses saw a burning bush on the side of a mountain. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about that bush, how you may see one too, and what may happen if you do. And now, go forth into the world in peace, blessed both in giving and receiving. And may you find wisdom and courage for the living of these days.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thy ancient church's story, bring her but to glorious flower.
have been listening to The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church at 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth, with Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr., pastor. Please join us next week at this same time for The Living of These Days.